a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for losing the blues. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. A good day from morning till night. I said to the sun, good morning, sun, rise and shine today. Curing your ills, so take a deep breath and throw away the pills, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night.
Thank you. Welcome all to the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, Wednesday, May 25th. All right, we've got the call to order and the Pledge of Allegiance. Do I do anything with the call to order? Sorry, I'm the rookie. I just say welcome, right?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So then we may begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand. Okay, and with that, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Barsky. Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Richards.
Here.
Commissioner Lynn.
Here.
Commissioner Tolis.
Here.
Vice Chair West.
Here.
Chair Hart.
Here. Okay, I'm inserting just a little something. I wanted to make sure we welcomed the new members to the commission. We have Ann Lynn as the new commissioner. And we have Jose Tolis as the, did I do your name correctly? As the student commissioner beginning tonight. Welcome. Would you guys like to tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Hello, everybody. My name is Jose Tolis. I am currently a high schooler. I am a sophomore, and I guess that'll be it for now.
What school?
Dos Pueblos.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Commissioner Lynn?
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on the Parks and Recreation Commission. The Central Coast has been my home for most of my life. I grew up in Lompoc, went to Cal Poly, came back. My first job was Goleta Union School District. Worked for the County of Santa Barbara School District. I'm a local girl. My husband and I have two kids, adult kids, and two really cute grandkids. And I volunteered in national parks and then the state forests, and also at the Rio Hondo Preserve, the Santa Barbara Land Trust Preserve. So I've had some experience as a volunteer in parks, plus some management experience with the county, where I was an analyst with the Parks Department. I was in the administrative office, but that was part of the whole public works, parks, planning, all that stuff. So anyway, I'm happy to be here and looking forward to it. It looks like from the needs assessment, there's lots to do.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And again, welcome. It's always good to have new, fresh faces and new perspectives. So I hope you'll jump in whenever the mood strikes. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. We have public forum. Do we have any speaker slips?
No, Chair Hart.
Okay. Moving right on. Presentation A, 8.1, Boys and Girls Club Programming.
So tonight we have Ashlyn Straley here from the Boys and Girls Club. We're pleased to have her here to give a presentation on the latest happenings at our Goleta Clubhouse. Ashlyn is the clubhouse director, right?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Claudia. So again, my name is Ashlyn Stralia, current club director at the United Boys and Girls Clubs of Santa Barbara County, the Goleta unit. So we do have a few locations. I run the Goleta unit, which is right behind the community center in Old Town Goleta. And we are an after-school program. However, we're heading into summer, and we will run a 12-week all-day program throughout the summer as well. Our mission statement is to enable all young people, especially those that need us most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, and responsible citizens. This all is possible with a tremendous leadership team that I'm a part of. And of course, there's me. I've been with this organization for about a year and a half, but Boys and Girls Clubs as a whole for about 12 years now. We have Veronica Lopez, our assistant club director, and she's moved on up through the ranks, actually started part-time 6 years ago as just a youth development specialist and has worked her way up and is now my right-hand woman. Hector Garcia, we do run an ACEs licensed program in partnership with La Patera Elementary School, and he oversees that. Brad Pullen, our athletic director, we run a variety of different sports leagues, and he makes sure that we've got the best of the best. And Orion Lathrop, our teen program supervisor. In addition, we do have 12 part-time staff members and over 100 volunteers throughout the year.
Excuse me, can
yes,
I interrupt them?
Of course.
Can you tell us what ACES is? That sounds
yeah, it stands for After School Education and Safety. It really is a model that we as a club have, we actually mirrored the entire club after, but it started as we get funding for 84 youth from La Patera who have been identified as needing more support in school and also have to be low income and on the free and reduced lunch program. So we have about 100 kids. We get funding for 84, and we commit 2.5 hours a day to education support. And because of its success, we've actually mirrored our drop-in program to look very similar, because we know in Old Town that's the community that we're serving is the kids who really need us and on the free and reduced lunch program.
Thank you.
Yes.
Is it only La Patera School?
For our ACES program, yes. Okay. However, our drop-in program, we do serve the rest of the elementary schools here in Goleta. So if we look at our club by numbers, currently we're serving 27 teens per day. 39 is the average number of youth we're serving on Saturdays. And I'll actually speak a little bit more to our Saturday programming. 159 is the average number of youth we are currently serving at our clubhouse Monday through Friday. 180, I'll speak to this as well. We do serve dinner, and we average about 180 meals, free meals, a night, Monday through Friday. 196, the highest attended day within the last 5 years, actually probably goes further than that, but I only could accurately track up to 5 years. And that happened on Cinco de Mayo of this year. However, right after I submitted this PowerPoint to Ms. Claudia, yesterday we had 197, so we set that record yesterday. And then we currently have 357 members enrolled, and those are ages 5 to 18. Just a little snapshot of what we are currently doing. When I took over the club in 2014, we were averaging about 91 kids a day with a peak of 107, and we were not currently open on Saturdays. 2015, we see that number increase a little bit, 102 kids a day, Monday through Friday, with a peak of 129. And this current year, we're serving 159 kids with a peak of 196, 197, if you will. And then as you can see, that Saturday number is a new number for us. So we are open on Saturdays from 10 to 3, serving roughly 39 kids per day. When you look at the Boys and Girls Club, what do we do? A lot of people think we're just a babysitting service, but we really are intentional with how we work with our kids. And just some of our programming, a staple of Boys and Girls Club is our recreation, our games room. So right when you walk in the clubhouse, we have foosball, ping pong, pool, air hockey, just a fun place for kids to be kids. As mentioned before with our ACES program and carry throughout the club, the importance of education. We commit an hour a day to homework help. As we know, you know, roughly 87% of our kids are on the free and reduced lunch program, heading home to Spanish-only speaking households, and so they're not able to get that support at home. So we're able to provide that homework assistance. And we also have a technology lab. A lot of our schools are moving to online homework, and so we're able to help support that as well. Teens, as I mentioned, we are currently serving teens. This is a population that we've identified that we need to serve more of. We identify our teens as middle school and high school, so 7th through 12th grade. They do have their own location in our facility, their own area, their own staff, so we know the importance of them being separate from the little guys, so we do offer that program space for them. We incorporate the arts. We've got great partnerships with UCSB, Santa Barbara Museum of Art, and as you can see in the picture, we just held a choir performance, so we're offering choir to our members and just had a performance on Saturday. few more programs. Wanted to highlight again, staple of Boys and Girls Clubs, especially in Goleta, if you've been around, is our sports programs, especially our basketball. And if you know Sal Rodriguez, he headed that for quite some time. So we still incorporate our winter and summer basketball leagues, along with indoor soccer, and then most recently incorporating cheerleading to get some of our girls more involved. But we do have a few in there. And then, as I mentioned before, we run a half day on Saturdays, which is new to this school year. We're piloting the program and hopefully going to continue, even extending our hours. And we really just open our doors for the kids on Saturdays to participate in it's their club. So I put this picture. This is we had pajama day one Saturday, and we did a nail polish painting party. So we really try to make it fun and just a place for kids to hang out on Saturdays. We provide a healthy snack every day to our members, and thanks to the Santa Barbara Unified School District, about a month and a half ago, we've been able to provide dinner, a free healthy dinner to our members Monday through Friday. And if adults want to come eat, it's $4. And today we had cheeseburgers and a salad and agua fresca, so it's always a great meal. And in addition to our wonderful programming, we really target our recognition. We're very intentional, whether it's on the picture on the right-hand side, recognizing five members each month out of our five core areas, or if you can see, our kids are holding up silver membership cards. So if they attend the club 52 days within the year, they get a silver membership card. And we actually just had one of our members attended 105 days. And he will receive a gold membership card. And the reason why we choose 105 is that's actually proven within our national organization, Boys and Girls Clubs of America, is if kids attend 105 days at the Boys and Girls Club, they are twice as likely to graduate on time from high school. And also the deeper impact is what we're making. Something I am very big on, I came from Orange County, and just a quick little story is I born and raised at the beach, and so my first summer here, I wanted to take a van to the beach with a group of kids, and I think I took nine on my first trip, and out of those nine, six had never been to the beach here in Goleta. So we are extremely big on programming beyond our four walls. These are all pictures of our kids within the community, so we're at UCSB pool. You can see we took a little trip to Crush Cakes, to the golf driving range, a picture of UCSB, and then in April, we had our National Boys and Girls Clubs Week, and we went out and cleaned up Old Town Goleta. So we had a group of kids that wanted to give back, and that was what they chose to do. So there's a picture of them on the right. And we do all this for a membership of $40 a year. We do not turn any of our youth away. If there is a child who wants to be at the Boys and Girls Club, we will find a way to support and scholarship them in. And there you can see our members. And thank you for allowing me the time to speak and share about my passion and the Boys and Girls Club. And I'm happy to take any questions. Yes, Daryl.
Thank you. Commissioner West?
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to say, wow, it's just most impressive. I have some questions about your dinner program.
Absolutely.
So do families have to do a means test in order for their child to qualify for the dinner?
They do not.
That's great.
Any child under the age of 18 gets to come and eat dinner with us. So I think we've seen 230 on one day. And so it's phenomenal.
Where do the meals come from? And is it federally funded?
It is a federally funded program through Santa Barbara Unified School District. And Nancy Weiss has made this.
Nancy.
Yes. She's phenomenal and made this program happen. So they bring an actual food truck.
Yes.
They prepare at, I believe, Goleta Valley. A kitchen here in Goleta. And then they bring the meal on the food truck and serve out of that.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Hart.
Yes. I had the question about the impressive increase in numbers.
Yes.
Is that largely, in your opinion at least, due to an increased need, or is it increased outreach, or a combination?
I do believe we've always had the need. I think it's an increased awareness of what we offer. I do believe that we've had to change a lot of our after-school programming and the way we work with kids, and I just come from a background of being very intentional and being mentors to our youth. And so I think a lot of our community has seen the benefit, where it's not just a drop your kid off and let them do whatever. We're very structured with our programming.
And I also wanted to add kudos. I have three adult kids, and all three of them went through the Goleta program. I even coached a couple of years under Sal.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, he's great.
I'm not sure you'd thank me if you knew what kind of coach I was.
Okay, I retract.
But yeah, I think it's a great resource. And again, I hope that those numbers keep increasing. Are you concerned about funding and fundraising? I mean, I would assume the 40 per person doesn't cover
correct.
It at all.
The average cost of a child to attend our program through the year is a little over $1,000. We rely heavily on private donations, individual donations. We just had one of our major fundraisers, and we apply for several grants. But, you know, nonprofit, we always have that, you know, not knowing where funding is going to come from. And thanks to the city, we do receive funding through the city as well.
Very good. Any other questions?
Yeah, along those lines, are you worried about, I mean, what's the limit of how many you could accommodate?
Good question.
You know? I mean, are you approaching that?
We are. You know, I think when I started, I said within the first 5 years, if I could see 200 kids, I'll, you know I've been successful in not even 2 years, and we're already seeing that number. Our building capacity is about 350. I think that's just going to be herding cats, if you will. So I think our target number is right about 230, 240. Anything more than that, I think you really lose the impact. And of course, with our numbers growing, we do increase the number of staff we have, because we do keep a 15-to-1 staff to child ratio.
And one other question.
Yes.
With the Saturday that started in this year, I guess?
Yes, this school year,
yeah,
correct.
So that was new. What, can you tell me how that's going?
Sure. It's slow moving. We are definitely trying to outdo outreach. So we are looking to pick up youth and bring them to the clubhouse. It was something that several years ago, maybe a decade ago, the club was open on Saturdays for basketball and sports leagues, but nothing where the doors were just per se open. And we get a lot of, well, what does it cost? How much? And so it's been a lot of kind of this rebranding that, no, the doors are open. And if you're a Boys and Girls Club member, you come on in, you hang out, and it's... So it's going. You know, I'd love to see that number grow upward of 100, but it's just pretty slow right now. Thank you. Yes.
Commissioner West.
You know, one thing that you said towards the end that I just have to applaud you was taking the kids out.
Oh.
You know, I'm a docent at the Natural History Museum, and it's amazing how many kids we have come through the museum that have never gone out on a nature hike.
Sure.
Or, you know, have never really had a picnic in the woods or the forest, and you really don't know anything about our local plants and mammals. And so to know that I just thought it was so interesting how you said so many of the kids who live here have never even been to the beach.
Right, a mile and a half, you know.
I mean, that says it all right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Question.
Oh. Right.
I was just going to say thank you for coming tonight.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. And your passion is very obvious.
Thank
you for
thank
what you,
you
do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair and members of the commission, we just wanted to thank Ms. Traley for coming out tonight doing the presentation that you did. And it's also a reflection, I think, of the great work that they do, but also the opportunity that we have as a city to work with a great organization, and really appreciate the partnership we have with you. And it's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
If one more thing,
yeah,
since you've made this effort to come out and speak,
sure.
If there is, let's say, somebody watching that would like to support the program, how might they most easily do that?
You can absolutely visit us online at unitedbg.org. You can always swing by any five of our locations. We stretch from Lompoc to Carpinteria. The best way is via our website. We would love any kind of support, or if you just want to stop by for a tour. Thank you again.
Okay, moving on. We have Section 8.2, the budget update.
Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, staff is pleased tonight to bring to you a budget update on the various projects and components of the budget that the city is going through right now, the process. We have prepared a PowerPoint for you to show the commission the linkages between the city's budget process and the budget, and also how it links together to, for example, some of the priorities in the recreation needs assessment, and what the timelines for funding are fiscal year 16, 17, 17, 18, and beyond. So we wanted to provide you kind of a budget summary and overview, and Ms. Dato and I will kind of be tag teaming this with you tonight. So with that, would you like to want me to go
right
into it?
Actually, the first slide is yours, Val.
Okay. So we wanted to share with the commission that one of the personnel requests that is being made to the city council, and we've reviewed this with the city manager and internal departments also as part of the budget process, is to request for a parks and recreation manager. So we're kind of excited about this request. It's important to point out it has not yet been approved. The budget will be considered by the council on June 7th. So please keep your fingers crossed, and we're hoping to obtain approval and that the council will give it consideration. And as the commission is aware, when we completed the recreation needs assessment last year, that really set the foundation for a lot of work looking into the future. So you can call it like a foundational document for the commission, because it was really the first time that an in-depth recreation needs assessment was conducted, and it also identified areas and projects and levels of maintenance in terms of some of our facilities, and looking at what's there, what needed to be replaced, the playground equipment, for example. So this position we would envision really being focused in the implementation of that document, coordinating with the Department of Public Works and other departments at the city, and really working closely also with the commission. You won't be able to get rid of me just yet, but I will continue to work with the Parks and Recreation Manager closely with the commission as we really take this kind of to the next level, right? So we're really kind of getting into the meat of the recreation needs document and coming back with specific timelines on projects and their implementation. So again, this is pending council approval. In our next meeting in July, late July, we'll be happy to provide the commission an update with what was approved. So I'm hoping that we have lots of good news for you at that meeting in July. So with that, I'd like to turn over some of the next slides to Ms. Dato to provide some information and some updates for you.
Sure. Even though the city doesn't sponsor or operate any sports programming, as you can see, the city does provide a significant annual support to Gersh Park for those kind of activities. Moving into our capital improvement program, currently, there's a total of 45 capital improvement projects that are on the horizon for the coming 5 years, several of which are recreation related. As you can see, we have 6 bike path projects and 10 park facility projects, as well as some other projects. So I'm going to kind of go through the list, and also provided in your packet, in addition to this PowerPoint, are the actual individual capital improvement program worksheets for each project. So on those, let me go to the next one here. For the 6 bike path projects, we have San Jose Creek Class 1 bike path. The numbers following correspond to those capital improvement program worksheets that you have. So turning to those individual sheets, if you like, you would be able to see, you know, which years the funding has been dedicated for that project. So I can either just go through the list, and then if you have any questions on specific projects, we can come back to them. Or
so for the commission, it's the handout with the purple table boxes in it, if you will, and you can follow along. As Claudia mentioned, the numbers at the end of those projects correspond to the numbers in the top right-hand corner of the CIP summary sheet. Okay, just to help you follow along.
Yeah, thank you, Vito. So we also have the Hollister Class 1 bikeway. That is a project that's like a safe route to schools project going from Pacific Oaks westerly on Hollister Avenue over to the Elwood Beach or Elwood Elementary School. We have a class two bike lanes on Ward Drive, the bicycle pedestrian master plan, Cathedral Oaks class one bike path, and La Patera class two bike lanes. We have 10 park projects coming up in the next 5 years. Did you have a question, Commissioner?
Yeah, I did. I can wait, or if I can ask it now. So I actually have a question about the funding for the bike, the various bike paths. And I see that there's various sources of funding, over several years. And in particular, I'm excited to see that the middle extent of the San Jose Creek bike path is moving forward. And I believe that has received some priority on the list of projects. Mm-hmm. I noticed that for the fiscal year 2018-19, it lists an ATP grant of $2.5 million, which yes. I guess is still projected because we haven't applied for that yet.
I don't know for certain on that one. Sometimes I know with some of these, the city knows it's going to get a certain amount each year. And so I think the city has the ability to project out a few years because we know, you know, we're going to get a certain percentage of that pot. I know Public Works has been extremely successful in obtaining transportation-related grant funding from mm-hmm. various sources. So
but I'm more concerned about the unfunded line. What mm-hmm. does that really mean then? Mm-hmm. On the first page, we've got the San Jose bike path. It's 1.2 million of it is on a line for unfunded. Is it just because it's out in the future, or?
Yeah, I think at this point they just haven't identified the funding source.
They expect to. Is that usually the case in these documents?
And also, I believe that Public Works staff will be applying for an ATP grant in June of 2017. So actually, the last line, staff is going to pursue an ATP grant in 2017. I don't know if that'll be in June, but it looks like also 2017. So these could be projections. As indicated in the budget sheet for the middle segment of the San Jose Creek bike path, staff indicated in this CIP summary that, in this case, Public Works staff will submit an ATP grant application in June, which is would be like next week, for funding. So some of these funding sources haven't landed yet, but I think they're in the process of like planning for them.
But the expectation is high
yes,
for this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what. Please, Commissioner West.
So when you say staff, who is the staff responsible for? Am I looking at the staff now? Or who writes those grants?
We're part of the staff, but this effort for the ATP grant is led by the Department of Public Works. And as the commission has met previously, Ms. Rosemary Gaglione, our City Public Works Director and City Engineer, heads up that department. And as Ms. Dato indicated previously, they have been very successful in going after grant funds. And so we are, you know, thrilled to be able to work with them on these projects that involve parks and recreation. And as you'll see later on this year, we'll have the Department of Public Works back to, you know, provide some additional information and updates. So there's a lot of teamwork involved in a lot of these projects across departments to really make these things move forward and help things move along.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, so moving on to the park improvements. As you know, we've been working on the Hollister Kellogg Park for the last few years, and we're actually expecting to come back to the Park Commission in the July meeting with a revised design. It's changed a little bit since the commission saw it based on taking the design to the City Council last fall. They had some requested changes, so we will be bringing forward that revised plan soon, and the city's continuing to work on other issues related to that project. We've got new playground equipment going into actually four parks, Andamar, San Miguel, Winchester 1, and Winchester 2. And then at Stowe Grove, we have planned a multi-purpose field, and that's one of the priority projects that was identified in the rec needs assessment. And after we go through these, I've got a couple of slides that depict kind of the location and image of that, what that would look like. The same thing with the Evergreen Park multi-purpose field. The public swimming pool at this point, I think, is a few years out, and we haven't identified a specific site yet. You know, the community center is a possibility, but has not been identified, and, you know, certainly it could be another location as well.
Yeah. Commissioner West?
On the pool, so at all of the assessment community meetings that I went to, families would get up and request that for our city. So by reading this, is there hope that in 2019, which is really only 3 years away, that whomever would be securing funding of $1.6 million for a pool, and that would give us 3 years to obviously find a site prior to that, so if we're, what I'm trying to get out of my mouth is that projected date, is that when we acquire the funds or when a pool would open?
Those would be what you see there on that project sheet is mm-hmm. in fiscal year 2018-19. Mm-hmm. Those are funds that would be for design.
Okay.
And then the following year, 2020, those would be the construction funds that you see there. And projecting out, I believe these are actually real numbers based on anticipated park development impact fees that the city expects to have on hand at that time. Yeah.
As the commission's aware, and when we talked about the community center, there was some talk about in the Civic Center project that we include one of these top priorities coming out of the rec needs assessment, right, which was an aquatic center. We don't quite yet know where this will be located because there's an issue of space, right, to plan for this facility, to make sure that there's adequate parking, that we can accommodate that. So we're still kind of looking at that. There was also a high priority need for like a rec center gymnasium and indoor basketball court. So when we look at all these things coming out of the rec needs assessment, we're trying to figure out where we're going to place all these things in the community, whether it involves new acquisition of property or shoehorn them in inside of existing facilities. So what we're excited about is being able to show you tonight actual budget documents and budget sheets that are used for planning purposes that have real numbers associated with them, that has fiscal year timelines associated with them. So we're now coming out of conceptual kind of draft ideas coming out of the rec needs assessment into now documents that are part of our capital improvement program here at the city.
It's very encouraging. Thanks.
Oh, sorry.
I have a question just for clarification. I noticed, I think this is the only example for the Hollister Class 1 bikeway, which is expected to have construction by mid-2017, that there's no future maintenance costs associated with that. Is that because, and I know we saw that plan, it had some landscaping, and through this, you know, CIP five-year outcome, that would have been in place for 4 years. Is that because there's no maintenance anticipated or because it's just not budgeted? Is it budgeted some other way to maintain? I guess I'm just thinking of the associated landscaping portion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, you know, I don't know, it's going to get used, get potholes or something, but is there a plan in another way to maintain it?
You know, I'm not sure why they still have that line item for future operating and maintenance costs because I don't think I've ever seen any numbers in those, mm-hmm. in that line. Typically, the different facilities, operations, and maintenance are under a different budget, category. that has to do with just general maintenance of city facilities and right-of-ways and not really part of the project design and construction. So I think it's just kind of somewhat antiquated form. And it's just, I don't know, maybe they used to include it, but I haven't seen that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as Vito was saying, I think one of the things that this, the new, hopefully will get approved, the Parks and Recreation Manager, and this will be also a big part of what they do is in implementing the rec needs assessment is looking at things like, okay, where are we going to put this swimming pool or this new rec center? Mm-hmm. And that's why, too, that these projects are shown out 2 or 3 years out in the budget cycles because it's going to take time to figure some of this the upfront stuff out before we can actually go into a design phase. And then finally, we have the community garden, which also came out of the rec needs assessment. And right now, that's shown in fiscal year 2018-19, and tentatively expected to be located at Armitos Park in Old Town. And I have some additional slides I was going to show you folks. So this is the potential or multi-purpose field at Stowe Grove Park. You can see that designs in 2017-18 with construction in 2018-19. So that's how that would overlay into the existing park. This is the Evergreen Park multi-purpose field. Same thing, design 2017-18 and construction 2018-19. And then finally, this is kind of an image of how the community garden would fit in with the Armitos Park project. And that's just slated for design and construction in fiscal year 2018-19.
Just to share with the commission, in these capital improvement summary sheets, if you will, there's 17 projects that are highlighted along with corresponding budget amounts and timelines. So it's really great to be able to be here tonight and be able to share with you that many number of projects that relate to Parks and Recreation and the coordination work that goes on with Public Works, the Department of Public Works and their staff. So it's we hope to continue working along these lines and really bring to the commission more of this as we kind of unwrap, if you will, the recreation needs assessment document.
If you wouldn't mind, I guess, expanding a little bit on one point, and that is you and I had an offline discussion at one point about the funding sources and that some funding is very specific. Mm-hmm. So when we look at these, we can't look at these and say priority-wise, we would like to put this one ahead of this one because there might be specific funds only for some of these projects. Is that true of several of these projects? You don't have to go into detail, but
I think it is for some of the projects because there's grant funding timelines and project implementation timelines that have, so once you get a grant, you have to complete the project in a certain amount of time. So that's the driver behind the timeline. But there are certainly other projects that are listed in the 17 that we could, you know, ask for additional input from the commission on. For example, if you can go back to the slide that showed the playground equipment replacement at the various parks, we would envision going out into those neighborhoods and asking for some feedback. And we would also come back to the commission and say, here's what we heard. We would like to get some guidance from you, feedback from you on maybe prioritizing, you know, some of these projects that are before us. It's certainly within you know, the scope of work that we've done in the past. And so there, as you indicated, there are projects where we don't have much to drive in the way of the timeline, but there are other projects certainly that we've come back to the commission on for lots of feedback, and we expect to do that in the future.
Just to add to what Vito said, you know, for projects where you see Park DIF as the only funding source, mm-hmm. those are projects that the commission could certainly weigh in on priority.
And just so the commission knows, those funds are park development impact fee funds. Those funds can only be used for typically new capital projects, new construction. It can't be used for ongoing maintenance. So it's typically new stuff. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things that you'll see in these budget sheets where you go, what? Oh, it's specifically earmarked for this. This type of funding can only be used for this type of project.
Commissioner West?
You know, years ago when you had all those community assessment meetings, I thought that was the most wonderful thing you all did. And I was very proud to be a part of it. And to see all the people from the community come and have their voices heard was just inspiring. And to know that you're going to be doing that again when you work on updating the individual parks is really exciting. I think you will have such buy-in from the community and getting involved. And I think that's a wonderful way to go forth because we certainly saw evidence of how well that worked. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to have the first skate park in Goleta is because of that. So absolutely.
Yeah, even with the playground equipment, there's a lot of opportunities for input, either you know from the community or the park commission or both, in terms of design, you know, focused age group, actual amenities or you know features of the playground equipment. So they've become pretty complicated and complex nowadays. It's not just your simple swings. I mean, they get pretty elaborate, and they certainly target different age groups, so it's important to get that neighborhood input.
It's also important to point out, and many of you are familiar with this, but when you have neighborhood parks like these, people take ownership of the park. It's their park. It's where they go with their kids or their family or they go on their walks. And so we want to be sure that if we're putting in new improvements that we're getting input back from those residents and saying, hey, what would you like to see? Maybe they're not happy with what's there now. And so it would not be a good assumption on staff's part to say, oh, we just swap out what we have there with the same and we'll be good. Well, there might be folks that say, hey, we don't like what's there. We'd like to have you consider something else. So we really want that opportunity for dialogue to be opened so we get it right. And you know, and we have at the end result a park that people can really enjoy.
That concludes our presentation.
Oh, okay.
If there's any more questions.
Are there more questions? I keep forgetting to look this way. do note, commissioners, that this is a great volume of information, and I really appreciate you sharing the detail with us. I'm sure it's going to take all of us a while to digest it all, but if you have questions, I assume we can contact you via email or whatever with those questions.
Absolutely, and just so the commission knows, subsequent meetings of the commission this year will involve some deeper discussion about some of these projects and some additional updates. So it's really kind of the starting point, if you will, to kind of have some cliff notes, if you will, to look at some of these projects, because we'll be referring to these projects the remainder of this year and next year and beyond. So we wanted you to have something kind of at a glance that could give you an idea of what the description of the project was, what the funding sources were, how much funding, and what the timeline was for that funding. So we thought that would be important to share with you. Certainly not the entire city budget. This is just one little component of it.
Yeah, we were going to be able to have it. We have one more question from Commissioner Lynn.
I was interested in the Aquatic Center. Was there a discussion of the size of it? I know land is a problem, but aquatic centers now are getting bigger and more elaborate, even in smaller communities. Mm-hmm. So I just wondered, is that going to be something that has to be worked on? This is a beginning point, more or less.
It looks like the project sheet called for almost a 1,500 square foot pool house, a 25 meter swimming pool with 8 lanes, and a 1,200 square foot children's pool.
Right.
So that's how it's described right
now. Well, what they're having now, they're having the slides and all, you know, fountains and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So these are, they're kind of, it's kind of the in thing. So I just think before we tackle mm-hmm. that, we should really take a look at that. I know it's expensive, and
absolutely.
But we probably should get some public input because it's a big deal. And it, for families, it's just amazing resource for their children. And be really, we might be able to get a donor involved with that. I'm just hoping. I was think that would be an area where funding from outside could come in. Maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah. Commissioner Richards.
And I wanted to say thank you for bringing that up, the issue of the size for that, because I know that that is one that was on the list of possible things to think about in terms of the community center in, mm-hmm. in Old Town. And that was a question I had in particular, was what would be an appropriate size for that lot? Because, I mean, that's, you know, it's limited in size to begin with. So maybe we can come back to that.
Sure.
Absolutely. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much. All right, moving on. We have the consent calendar. I believe we have some comments about the minutes from last meeting. Commissioner Richards.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just noted there appeared to be a section in here that shouldn't be. So on page 3, it looked like it was left over from a previous year.
Actually, we reviewed it, and it was just a misstatement. I think we just needed to add the note vice chair. Commissioner West had nominated you as vice chair during that discussion.
Well, it says that Commissioner West nominated Commissioner Richards for vice chair. Commissioner Richards accepted the nomination for chair, and that didn't happen.
Right, you didn't accept the nomination for vice chair, or I shouldn't say that you didn't decline the nomination for vice chair, correct?
Well, I did not accept the nomination for chair.
Right.
So,
and so we needed to add the word vice in there, and that's what I'm getting at. Would that fix it in your mind?
I don't remember accepting the nomination for vice chair last month.
Okay. So would you submit as to what you would like it to say?
Yeah.
I'm suggesting that paragraph be deleted. I don't think that.
Well, she did nominate you. She was, if you recall, she said, let's keep the same team together and switch roles. So she nominated you for vice chair, at which time, I don't recall what happened. Maybe you can remember it at that. And then at that point, Commissioner Barsky, I believe, nominated Commissioner West for vice chair. And then we went through the voting process. But that's what that paragraph was referring to, those events happening. What we need to do is stipulate correctly what those events were.
I think the second sentence, it says Commissioner Richards accepted the nomination for vice chair, and add the word vice and leave the rest as it is. And that he said, I believe, you know, I would be happy to, et cetera, but I think we want to rotate. And then you went on to nominate Chair Richards. Mm-hmm. So I think you're just missing the word vice.
Would that be acceptable, Commissioner Richards?
I honestly can't remember because I don't think that I did accept the... I don't think I accepted the nomination for vice chair. I just don't remember doing that.
I think we can remove that statement and just Commissioner Richards noted that the Parks and Recreation Commission have had a tradition of rotating and that he would be willing to accept or step aside. And just skip the Commissioner Richards accepted the nomination for chair.
Is that acceptable?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I think it's an important adjustment, but yeah, I think it's handled with just the insertion of vice and the other comments she just made. So were there any other comments or changes about the minutes from last meeting? Okay. With the minutes amended as stated, can I get a motion for approval?
I move that we accept the minutes as...
I'm sorry. I move that we accept the corrected minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We have that passed.
We need to...
Okay. Moving on. Item C. I'm sorry. We have something?
No, I was just wondering. I didn't think Commissioners Lynn and Tolis were at the last meeting,
right.
So they probably
should. Want to recuse them.
Yeah, sure. Both abstain from that action.
So two abstentions
yep.
and four acceptance.
Thank you. Sorry.
That's, thank you. No, a good stipulation. Thank you. All right. C, discussion action items. We have an update on the Goleta Community Center.
Yes, I'll take care of that. For those of you who do not know the background of the Goleta Community Center, it was constructed in 1927 as the Goleta Union Elementary School and served as a school until 1976. In 1977, the property was leased to the County of Santa Barbara to operate a community center, and in 1984, the county sublet the property to the Goleta Valley Community Center, a private California corporation. Under incorporation, upon incorporation in 2002, the city of Goleta assumed the existing lease from the county, and the city exercised an option to purchase the property in 2013 and acquired the property then at that time from the Goleta Union School District, or Unified School District. On October 20th, 2015, the city council directed staff to analyze options for managing the property and the ongoing activities at the center. During staff's effort to evaluate management options, it became apparent that the center's condition should be incorporated into the discussion, given that council's direction regarding operational and programming goals and priorities for the center will be affected by financial impacts associated with repairing and upgrading the center. On April 18th, 2016, the City Council held a public workshop on the community center to discuss capital facility improvements, management options, and the operating goals and priorities for the center. Over the past few years, it has become apparent that the center site, the center building and site, needs some fundamental repairs that should be addressed in the near future. Many of the needed repairs and upgrades relate to health and safety, given that the building was constructed in 1927. In addition, a number of accessibility retrofits are needed for the facility to meet accessibility standards, which will be required to varying degrees as repairs or modifications are made to the building. In addition to the necessary building upgrades, the center parking lot is in a state of a significant disrepair. If the decision is to invest only in short-term building occupancy while other options for the center are evaluated, approximately $350,000 in parking lot improvements are necessary. Altogether, short-term improvements deemed necessary total approximately $1.8 million. This cost does not include any localized remediation of hazardous materials such as asbestos or lead-based paint, which may become necessary as improvements are undertaken. In comparison, long-term renovation of the center would include structural upgrades and repairs, integral finishes such as roofing, flooring, painting, etc., facade work, new or upgraded equipment, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing upgrades, more complete parking lot repairs, and any needed remediation work. In April, the City Council directed staff to move forward with an estimated $100,000 in investigative inspections and testings. These consist of a more in-depth hazardous materials investigation, a historic resource evaluation, and water and air quality testing within the community center building and associated educational buildings. Under the current management structure, the city leases the site to the Goleta Valley Community Center, which controls the use of the facilities and the services at the site, with the exception of the Boys and Girls Club. The city's input is currently limited. Several building models exist for managing and operating the center, including the status quo, complete city management and control and operation, and management by another nonprofit organization. These options were discussed at the April workshop, and council ultimately requested that staff issue a request for proposals to explore what organizations might be interested in managing the center for recreation and nonprofit activities. It is expected that the selected organization would oversee all programming, staff, general maintenance, and subleasing. An example of this option would be the City of Santa Barbara's agreement with the YMCA for the operation of the Haley Street Recreation Center. Under the category of the center's future operating goals and priorities, staff is requesting feedback from the Parks and Recreation Commission. Current programming and operation priorities for the center include low-cost room rental and lease rates for educational and recreational uses, on-site child care services, including Head Start and the Rainbow School, nonprofit and community meetings, private events, community events, and the senior center. According to the Goleta Valley Community Center Foundation, the center has between 90,000 to 120,000 visitors each year, including an average of 250 seniors who regularly participate in programs at the senior center. In terms of programming, 61% of participants are seniors, while 20% are youth under age 18, and the remaining 19% are adults, not youth or seniors. However, a range of possibilities exist to either recraft programming and services or confirm the existing ones. The city's rec needs assessment included a number of recommendations that could potentially be accommodated at the community center in terms of facilities and services. These include a youth soccer field, new recreation center, particularly with focus on senior and teen programming, a skate park. This was among the needs most often indicated, with more than one skate park being called for. As we've mentioned tonight, a swimming pool, aquatic center, also among the needs most often indicated in the rec needs assessment, and a 20,000 square foot community garden. With regard to the youth soccer field, which was, again, among the needs most often cited in the rec needs assessment, if you refer to attachment 2 of your staff report, and I have an image on the screen here of the overall aerial of the entire property, and I can focus in on the area I'm about to speak about, you will see the green space in the southeast corner of the site. This area is large enough. I'll go ahead and focus in on it here. There we go. This area is large enough to accommodate a soccer field for age 12 and under, which is approximately 135 by 210 feet in dimensions. Alternatively, this green space is large enough to accommodate a community garden. However, Armitos Park is proposed as the tentative site for that, and certainly other uses that might be accommodated within that, at least a portion of that area could be a skate park component. Other ideas include upgrading the current kitchen to commercial grade, improving rental facilities to increase rental income, expanding direct programming opportunities both indoors and out, and providing new outdoor facilities such as some of the ones I've mentioned here. Additional facilities could be multi-purpose courts or additional basketball or tennis courts, or a walking path with fitness nodes, including outdoor fitness equipment or exercise equipment. At the April workshop, the City Council did not provide feedback or direction to staff on operating or programming priorities for the center or its surrounding property. Therefore, staff sees this as an opportunity for the Parks and Recreation Commission to weigh in on these issues. This feedback would then be forwarded to the City Council the next time Council discusses the community center. Given the pending investigations, it may be a few months before the City Council takes up the matter again.
Thank you. Are there questions? Yes. Commissioner Jones.
I'd like a couple clarifications. You mentioned, so what is the lease status, first of all, with the community center? You mentioned that council directed, secondly, you mentioned council directed you to look at potentially other nonprofits that would look at operations. So how does the current lessee feel about that? Are they open to that? Like, how does that work? And then third, you mentioned that cities, because of the lease situation, that the input is limited because of their current lease. So lease status and logistically, how does that work if we do want to have input or bring somebody else on board to operate it now that the city owns it? So can you just explain that for me, please?
Sure. Currently, the lease with the Goleta Valley Community Center is a month-to-month lease, as I understand it. And the way it's structured right now, they pretty much control any use of the property and the programming and anything that occurs within the building. Again, everything with the exception of the Boys and Girls Club. And so they also, you know, sublease portions of the property to Community Action Commission, and there's a couple other subleases, a karate outfit, and then actually there's a small private academy as well as the Rainbow School. So I think council's kind of impetus for wanting to do the request for proposals was to see, you know, certainly the current leaseor, or leasee, I guess it is, the Goleta Valley Community Center is certainly encouraged to participate in that RFP, but it was kind of, let's see what's out there, let's see if there's any fresh new ideas as well, or, you know, let's see what the community center comes up with in terms of, you know, providing a vision for future additional programming. So rather than, you know, we've been with that same, you know, nonprofit for now since 1984, so.
Thank you for explaining that.
Well, I would imagine that I saw in here that there was roughly $500,000 forgiven in leases to this organization. I would imagine that they're right now economically not very viable.
That's correct.
Commissioner West.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I heard you correctly. So we have been tasked with the this commission to really research this, correct, and to come up with some intelligent suggestions to give to you to give to council. Is that did I get that right? Because if so, then I have other questions.
Council didn't specifically, direct us to take this issue to the Park Commission, but staff saw it as an opportunity for the Park Commission to provide some input, since we're talking about, you know, potentially additional uses that could occur at the site, and in light of the rec needs assessment and what items and amenities it called for. So it was more of, you know, council hadn't gotten to a discussion on that, so we saw it as an opportunity to say, you know, this is what the Park Commission thought maybe were some of the priorities that that council should look at in terms of what recreational programming should occur there.
Well, here's what I would then suggest. So a few years ago, for those of us who have been on this commission, we all met and spent, was it two complete days going to every park in the city? And I might suggest that the commissioners go, literally we go there, and perhaps it can be arranged that we meet with the executive directors and the program directors and get from the existing service providers in the community center, you know, what they do, let them show us, you know, let us be there and ask questions, because I can tell you those days we spent going from park to park, you know, we learned a whole lot and we saw a whole lot that just sitting in this room, had we not done that, I never would have gained that knowledge. So
it might just be an opportunity for a meeting venue.
Yeah.
We could just, if everyone was accepting of that notion,
yeah,
we could just schedule a meeting there and combine it with.
Oh, an evening meeting there. Oh, that's, do you, and then arrange to have those people come in and make presentations to us. That's a good idea.
But is that, you obviously had the thought to bring it to us. How did you envision us participating in this?
Well, I think that's an excellent idea as far as, if, especially if none or some of you haven't really toured the facility in depth. I think it was, you know, looking at the rec needs assessment and the possibilities that exist there, and just providing us, you know, some direction or as far
some
as
recommendations.
Yeah,
sure.
As far as what, you know, amenities or a combination of amenities the commission saw as, you know, having higher priority for perhaps this location.
Commissioner Lynn.
I worked 3 years in the building when it was a school, and I'm really familiar with the grounds and everything. I think it's a really good idea to go over there and also do a little, some kind of feasibility study or find out a little audit of what's going on. But also I think that's really important, but I think we also should have some kind of an open-minded idea of how that site could be used. It's really hard to think about taking things down that are old, but it is really old, the building. And I think the auditorium might be saved, personally, but the school is just really falling apart. It was falling apart years ago. But maybe it can be, and it should be kept. But like I said, that's one issue. But the second issue is what's kind of like a big idea that we could have for that site? It's a lot of land, and if we kind of had an open mind about it. So I think one idea is to find out a little bit more about what other cities are doing with the same kind of projects, the soccer field and the aquatic center, and incorporating the city council and staff and city hall and all that. It's a very big project. But we're only really focusing on one piece of it, the park and recreation. So there really is two issues, you know, what's there now and whether we want to keep going with what's been going on, and also how would a new facility, maybe saving part of it, look like, and how can that be add some real dynamism to the city? The location is pretty good because of the freeway access and all that to bring in, you know, if you try to put something like aquatic center in a neighborhood, people go crazy. But that's a good location, so we really have an opportunity there to put something that's with intensive traffic and all that. It is really going to be intensive if you have a city hall and all these facilities there. But I think it's a great site, so we should really be trying to maximize it, every inch of it, with, you know, how big the buildings are, how they're situated on the site, and everything. So, but for our little piece, I just think we should see a little bit more what. Second part is, what are other cities doing? And that's going to take a little work, and we need to go somewhere that has a really, really nice setup with a similar size city. I have no idea. I just know Santa Barbara's is just as old as ours, and Santa Maria isn't. You know, they don't. I don't know of anything that's really going to knock your socks off there, but I think it's an issue we could look into, and I think we should, because we have an opportunity. It's a very big piece of land, and it's a great place to bring people in to do all these activities without people going crazy. There's some condos next door, but that's designed very urban, with the garages backing up to it. And then there's the bus lot from the Glida School District.
Right.
So, boy, I just think it really would be worth every minute of study to try to figure this out, because it will be symbolic of the city of Goleta. It really, when it's done.
Great points, and I like both thoughts. And what I'm struggling with is how we, I guess, structure this thought process, this prioritization, all of these things. We have already talked in past meetings about the limited staff that we have, and Vito had just mentioned that there is a definite need for a Parks and Rec manager. So the things that I believe that we want to do, I think that we need to be self-sufficient about. So if there is any of the commissioners that want to do something like that, look out there and do some research and reach out. I'm sure staff would be supportive and helpful in sending you in the right direction. But I think that's where this is our opportunity. You know, we had this huge needs assessment report. We've got to somehow organize this mm-hmm. effort that it makes sense. Obviously, by bringing this forward, I believe that staff is suggesting to us that the community center is near the top in terms of consideration for sites. It's also a need in terms of having to be addressed, because it's an underfunded, challenged facility at this point. Other comments about this? Why don't we go to Commissioner Richards first?
Well, I just want to say I'm excited by the opportunity here. I mean, there's a real chance for us to do something amazing in Old Town that will really address, you know, the recreational needs of, you know, perhaps Old Town or the greater city. So, I mean, I'm really I think we really need to be thinking, you know, broader vision here of like, what can this be? Like, what could this site be? And what do we need it to be? You know, what's going to best serve the city? Mm-hmm. A few thoughts. I mean, I know it's my understanding now that City Hall is no longer being considered, or is that on hold, or what's the stat? Okay, that's on hold. So it may be that City Hall does not move here, right? Is that's a possibility that might not happen?
I think that the council took in a lot of information from a lot of vantage points about the project. We had consultants work on it and design conceptual. So I think the council's decision was to put it on hold, if you will. And they really wanted to look at some of the immediate needs that needed to be looked at the community center. As Claudia mentioned, the testing to make sure that we look, because it's an old building, what we don't know is what's behind the walls. I've shared this story previously, but earlier this year there was a rain event and there was some a roof leak over the women's bathroom. And the rafters were exposed and some of the roofing material was exposed. And what we were able to see there was a knob and tube wiring. And I hadn't seen that before. And so some of the questions came about from that, which is, well, what else is behind the walls? And so part of that is the testing. So at this point, I wouldn't say that the project's dead. I think that it was put on hold mm-hmm. for the council to look at some other projects that are coming their way that they really want to focus on.
Okay. Would the if that were even to happen, would it take the entire footprint, the City Hall moving? Probably.
Well, part of the challenge is placing a civic center within buildings that are already there, particularly the community center itself. So what was envisioned conceptually was a courtyard that went from the existing main building. Imagine, if you will, the auditorium when you walk into the community center, and then going out the back through a courtyard and then having a civic center, City Hall, if you will, behind that. There have been comments raised also to preserve the facade of the building and build everything new behind that. So I think what the council has done has been really very, I think, prudent in looking at, well, what do we not know about the systems at the community center? How much will that cost? You know, asbestos and lead-based paint and some of these other testing. So the council, back in the workshop on April 18th, appropriated some funding and said, hey, we want to look at some of these things because these will answer some questions that we have that we don't have answers to yet because we don't know. If you look at in the staff report, the long-term facility capital improvements are over $7 million. And so really the testing is kind of like the first step. And staff would like to continue working with the commission as well as with the council, because I know they appreciate your feedback and your recommendations, that as this question about the community center, you know, what repairs are needed, how long, how much time it will take, that you allow us to engage the council to find out those areas that they really need help and really want assistance from the commission on, so that we're not, so that the work that we're doing is consistent with their direction, and also that we're going in the direction that we're needing to go. So that because you mentioned the limited resources that we have, I would really hate, and I know the commission would appreciate this too, that we undertook a significant amount of work effort that wasn't relevant or valid to what the council's asking for. And so I know the commission agrees with that too. So I think there's very definitely opportunities for the commission to provide feedback and recommendations. We would like to just maybe put a pause on that tonight, at least, because we don't know for sure. There's still this testing that we're waiting for to come back to the council. And we would be happy to engage the council further with the city manager and other staff in saying, hey, you know, the commission would like to weigh in, and they're aware of it. I mean, they know that as we're talking about programming, which is one of the things that has come up in this commission before, that there's a lot of opportunity for feedback there. We want to seize those opportunities. I just don't have clarity right now as to what those opportunities are.
Commissioner West?
Okay, I feel like it is my duty to advocate for the existing nonprofit programs that are in there. As you had an office, or you taught there for 3 years, I worked for 14 years at the Community Action Commission. My office was in that building. And so I think it is really important when you think of that center to know that low-income seniors come there Monday through Friday for lunch because they're in need, and many of them live alone. You have the Head Start program in there that provides education and care and enrichment for children who live in that part of Goleta. So I'm open to vision, and I'm open to making that building much better than it is. But I want to advocate for the longtime nonprofits who are dedicated to serving those group of Goleta residents in need. And I would I think it would be sad if we move forward with trying to make them find a new home.
Commissioner Jones.
I appreciate what you have to say, Commissioner West, but I also think that what we're hearing is that not necessarily viable, but I think the bigger picture in looking at, we know what we know from the needs assessment and what is included in the staff report. There's a lot of good information about what those uses are and what the monthly users reports do, and we all have experience there. So I kind of feel, if you look back on page 5, you know, what those programming priorities are and what the question is being asked of us. You look at soccer field, new rec center, skate park, swimming pool, community garden, that maybe we prioritize that type of programming, and a new recreation center could fall into that, where you are focusing on the senior and teen programming of similar to what's there now, not necessarily managed by the current nonprofit, but something that's viable but provides the same services. And look at it more from, because I think we start to undo the yarn and pull the yarn, and we talk about the building and what the building needs, and that alone of structurally for accessibility and safety and historic resources, that's a whole nother can of worms. So I just want to try to get us to focus. And those are great things to think about and to know when we make decisions. But I think what it seems like what staff's asking us is more to look at what we see from our knowledge and what we've learned from our needs assessment, to look at for programming recommendations, what could we look at for this site? We all have a vision. We'd all need to go through a very public, long process. But I think we should maybe focus a little bit more on the programming priorities.
That's a great point. Do you have a suggested vehicle for providing that input?
I do not. I think personally, just from what we've heard in my own experience and what we've gone through and looking at the needs assessment in our past workshops of prioritizing, it would seem that from based on this list and recommendations, potential programming priorities would be a new recreation center, youth soccer field, swimming pool, and skate park.
And I don't know if those were in priority order, but I would actually agree with those. I think a new recreation center, and again, I totally agree with what you're saying, is like that we don't want to displace people, and we want to honor the good work and the what's happening there already. I think what we want to do is just expand that, and allow more opportunity for more. More programming to happen to better serve the needs in that in Old Town and beyond. I would say that. And then in terms of some of the others, like I, I know that we've heard about the Aquatic Center, and I think that, you know, that is a possibility. I think we'd have to look at the site and how big that would be. Like, that was a question that came up earlier. And the youth soccer field, we clearly need more of those. There's a demand for them. Regarding some of the others, like the skate park, I'm sympathetic to the fact that, you know, we've heard a lot of people that want more skate parks. But the only other skate park we're going to have in the city is going to be just, you know, like a few blocks away. And so I think we need to take that into consideration. And then think about how big it is, because I know that the other feedback we heard about that skate park was that, you know, that one at the Kellogg Armitos Park will be a smaller, more neighborhood type one. And that they were, you know, saying that we really should be looking at having a larger, more regional one. And so would this be appropriate for that? And again, that's an open question. I don't know. And then the community garden. And again, you know, there's the Armitos Park where we have already identified an alternate location for that. So, you know, maybe that wouldn't be a priority either, where some of those other ones would. So,
Mr. Chair and commissioners, if you like, staff has just kind of on the fly here created a little table matrix. So we could just go by commissioner.
Sure.
You could give us your ranking of 1 through 5 on page 5 of the list of some of the rec needs assessment priorities. And we could just tabulate those, and then we could come back to you with kind of a graphic display on where you came up on these various priorities. So, Mr. Chair, that's I good. Defer to you as to what side of the commission you want to start on. I know heard from...
Yeah, I think we've had Mr. Richards.
So if you could, Commissioner Richards, if you could just give us, in order of priority 1 through 5, your list on... Okay.
I would say 1, recreation center. I'm kind of torn between 2 and 3, but I'll say 2, soccer field, 3, an aquatic center. And I know it's hard to even compare those two because I'm sure they have a very large difference in price tags on those. And then 4, skate park, and 5, community garden.
Okay, got it.
Number 1, new rec center provided.
Thank you. New rec center provided we could add the word Head Start in there. Okay. So number 2 would be swimming pool. Number 3 would be skate park. Number 4 would be community garden. And number 5 would be youth soccer field.
So if you could repeat, we got 1, 2, and 5. We didn't get 3 and 4.
3 would be a skate park. And 4 would be the community garden.
Okay. So number 1 was the new rec center.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 was the swim aquatic center. Number 3 was the skate park. Number 4 was the community garden. And number 5 was the youth soccer field.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
I guess I'll go since I'm in order here. I have to comment, though, as I go, too. I'm going to say number 1 for the swimming pool aquatic center, primarily because I'm concerned that there's going to be limited space opportunities of this size and magnitude in the community that would be affordable, et cetera. Number 2, the recreation center. Again, the displacement being the primary concern there. If we're already cutting some of the programmatic things that we have already stated are very important, I think it has to somehow be accommodated somewhere. That's a little harder. Number 3, I guess, would be the skate park, and it's almost by default because I don't feel the youth soccer field was really the high demand needs thing. We needed a full soccer field for the older players. My daughter did play on that field. It's very small, very inadequate for the regular soccer players, and I know that there are some other sites being considered for soccer fields already. So that would get number 4, and then number 5, the community garden, primarily because Armitos sounds like a better situation anyway.
Okay.
Commissioner Jones.
Number 1, new recreation center. Number 2... swimming pool, aquatic center. 3, it's tough, the last ones. Soccer field, 4. Community garden, 5. Skate park.
Commissioner Lynn.
Well, I think that the comments from Mr. Hart, I agree with on the soccer field. I don't really think that's a good site for a soccer field, even though it's in demand. I think we really need to find a better place for the soccer field. Again, we're talking traffic and neighborhood conflicts and a lot of other issues. I would say number one is a recreation center, and number two are the swimming pool aquatic center, but they would actually be theoretically one facility. You could really, you can really integrate those kinds of things really, really well. You could even have like roller skating, and I've seen centers like that. And the other ones are really hard. We're struggling with the soccer field, and the community garden, and the skate park, because I think we know that the skate park, again, a lot of conflicts, and you've got one already this end of town that would probably be more appropriate maybe over at Stowe if you get away from the neighbors. I'm just trying to say this complex to put them in order. So I don't know if I can do this, but I think the only two that I would even think fit there, and they fit great, are the rec center and the aquatic park. The other ones I don't think fit at all. So if you want me to rank them, I will, but I think they belong other places. It's just my opinion.
That's good.
Well, my matrix will not be very new.
All right, I'll give you the rest.
So I would like your numerical
ranking. I wasn't
happy
with my ranking either.
Because I don't think the other ones belong there. I think there's so many issues. I mean, I think it's a great place for big venue things, but little venue things are different. They take a lot of supervision, for one thing. You don't want to tuck a skate park back there. You want to put it out there where people can see it and kids can get to it and kids can walk to it.
So what was your number three?
So number three.
You're not escaping.
You're not getting off on those.
Oh, I think they're great. I think they really need to be in the right place. Number three is youth soccer field, 4 skate park, and 5 is community garden.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Tolis.
I would consider the new recreation center a top priority out of all of these just because there are certain some issues we should like talk about. And or look deeper into. And then I'll consider the aquatic center second.
So just to confirm, the rec center was number one?
Yes, for me.
Okay. Rec center was, okay, number one.
Then the skate park as number three.
So aquatic center was number two?
Yes.
And then skate park is number three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Youth soccer field number 4.
Okay.
And then community garden is number 5.
Okay.
Can you expand on what you were saying about the rec center? You said there was some other needs.
It's just like at least with the community center that we were talking about earlier over in Old Town and how there are some issues with that. I feel that the new rec center would actually solve a lot of that. And so therefore we can like actually go ahead and or replace the building itself and or like I guess repair it while we have this new recreation center to I guess have a new home for the programs that are already in the other building itself.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Richards, you have something to add?
Well, I had a question regarding this youth soccer field. There are dimensions there, 135 feet by 210 feet. How does that compare? I know that there's going to be a small like playing field, but it's not a regulation one in the Kellogg Armidos Park. How does that compare to the size?
The one at Hollister Kellogg was going to be 150 by 235.
Oh, okay. So this would be smaller than that. Okay.
Yeah, and that was. And that was unfortunately the reduced size that we had to go with given the water restrictions. Is previously it was going to be 150 by 300, I think it was.
Yeah. Commissioner West?
Just a point of clarification. I must have misunderstood you all a few months ago, and I apologize. So I thought I had heard that after a study that was discovered it would cost so much money to build a new recreation center that was being put on hold, that thought. So I was incorrect. So there are ample funds to what would be happening. They would be leveling down completely where the community center currently is and then building a brand new rec center there?
No, that's, I mean, one of the things that the city council is looking at, they have not come to that conclusion at all. Okay. That's why we're doing additional testing to see what's really needed at the community center building, to what kind of repairs. We've had several studies done on the building, but all have been based on superficial observations, even the seismic studies. We've had ADA, fire and safety. There's been a number of studies, but all of them have been just purely based on a visual basis, without doing what's called destructive testing. And that's what we're looking at now, is we've got actually a request for proposals closing on Tuesday that would involve having a consultant go in and doing some selective, what they call destructive testing, which is, I don't want to overstate it. It's basically, taking a small section of a wall and opening it up, or taking, looking in, opening up the ceiling in certain locations, so getting a better look at what's going on behind the walls and in the, rafters and every place that you can't just readily see. And so in terms of things like Vito was mentioning, hidden, very substandard wiring that's actually, a fire hazard. So because right now we have all these cost estimates of what it will take to repair the community center or upgrade it. But the hazardous materials question and really the essence of some of these things in terms of plumbing and electrical and even structural things that we, haven't been able to see up until this point, can really affect those cost estimates. So, council doesn't have enough information to make, an informed decision about, whether it makes sense to try to repair the community center, or possibly, at least in some fashion, rebuild it. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Further comments? All right. I think we can move on. Thank you again for that.
Oops. We'll come back with a graphic for you that shows the tally. But just a quick note on the number one, five out of six of you ranked the new recreation center as a top priority. And number two, the aquatic swim facility, was four out of six of you ranked that a second priority. So we'll come back with a nice graphic for you to take home. But thank you.
Well, I think that's what we're actually feeding back to the council, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So, I think that clarity will be good. Yes.
I apologize. Oh, I have to leave a little early tonight. I have a childcare issues. So I'm going to be heading out. But thank you. I look forward to our next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. I'll note that. What's time? 7:32. Thank you. All right. Moving on. Where am I? The director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and commissioners. Just a few items, some of which we've kind of touched on tonight already. In the July meeting, staff will be returning to you with an update on the Hollister Kellogg Park. So it's kind of a future agenda item, but we are continuing to work to push hard in moving that project forward. And we'll be bringing back to you some of the revisions to the site plan that we would like you to see. Our next meeting will be in July 27th. So the commission should be aware that staff is also working on this year's Gersh 4th of July, the Goleta Noontime Rotary Gersh 4th of July fireworks show. So staff is working on that permit. As I mentioned previously in tonight's meeting, the budget will be coming to the council on June 7th for their approval. And staff will be reporting back to you the results of that process. And also, one of the items that came up in the recreation needs assessment was the opportunity to work with the local school districts in joint use agreements for their green playground, soccer field, / kid area, grass areas, if you will, just in general, joint use facilities. Joint use agreements. So staff will be working with our city manager and other staff to really kind of move this item forward, because I know it's been a priority of the commission, and we want to be able to report back our progress on that. And it's directly tied to and linked to the recreation needs assessment that came up in that whole process. So as you can see, we have a busy year ahead of us. We have three more meetings after tonight. So our next meeting will be in July, towards the end, July 27th, and then September, and then November. So before you know it, we'll be sitting here in November, but we will have a lot of ground that we covered. So that's all for me. I didn't know, Claudia, if you had anything you wanted to add.
Commissioner West.
Claudia, do you by chance have the exact dates for the September and November meeting at this time?
I think we do.
I thought we had them.
I don't have them with me, unless one of the new commissioners still has it.
You emailed it to us, so I didn't bring it. Yeah.
But it's normally the fourth Wednesday of the month.
In your folder?
It's normally the fourth Wednesday.
Maybe.
You know, just every now and then through the years, we've had to deviate, you know, from one week to another, and I was just wondering if we had that set in stone yet.
There we go. It's,
we have the dates.
September 28th and November 30th.
November 30th?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was email.
And that concludes my director's report. Again, thank you for your feedback tonight, and we will be bringing a number of items to you here between now and the end of the year for your review and consideration.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You.
So future agenda items, might I guess, throw in here Commissioner West's suggestion that we might meet at one of those, or one of the future meetings meet at the community center? Do you think that that's a viable and workable plan?
Sure. We'll talk to the city clerk on that and coordinate scheduling, because I know they have a busy calendar at the community center. So we'll contact them and try to coordinate that and report back.
Thank you. Are there any other future agenda items, or did we already cover that? I think you covered it in the director's report.
I tried to.
Tried to kill two birds with one stone there, didn't you? Anybody else have anything under future agenda items?
The issue of dog parks has come up before, and I'd like to, I don't know, could we revisit that at some point?
No,
and
no.
Just because I know that that's an issue. So.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any other? All right. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Rain, it'll fly, still it.